Hello, this is Dr. Nicholas Ellen, Senior Pastor of Community of Faith Bible Church. We thank you for taking the time to join us this week as we seek to learn God's Word so that we may live His Word and love others through His Word. We pray that God will use this message to transform your life. Now, let's dive in to God's Word.
A husband and wife were looking out the window together, and as they were looking out the window, the husband looked to the wife, and he said, "Do you see what I see?" She said, "I sure do." He said to her, "Why don't we go and have some fun? Do you want to have some fun?" She says, "I do." He says, "I tell you what, since you see what I see, I'm going to go downstairs dressed to go do exactly what you see that I see. And when you come down, we'll go do it together." As they were looking out the same window and they both said they saw what they saw, when she came downstairs, what was interesting is that she had on her clothes to play tennis. He had on his clothes to go swimming. They were both looking out of the same window and they both were looking at some of the same things. They both had the same agenda, but they came at it from different ways. And what I find fascinating is we will begin to, in section 9, begin to look at and think through Black Lives Matter and white nationalists. We're going to discover that as different as they think they are, when you start to look at a biblical worldview and what they stand for, we'll begin to see that they have the same agenda coming at it from a different way. And in both cases, there are things that Christians must reject. So as we begin, let us begin to go back to our understanding of racism so that we can have the context, because as we walk through this information today and as we look at what they say about who they are, we're going to draw some conclusions about what they say they are according to Scripture. And here's what we're going to discover as we go along the way. We're going to discover that if you don't believe that God created mankind, if you don't believe that we were created in the image of God, if you don't believe that man's problem is sin and that his solution is salvation, sanctification, and glorification, then you are walking from the perspective of evolution. And when you walk from the perspective of evolution, mankind is his own God. He decides who he is. Mankind decides what the problems are, and mankind decides what the solutions are. Where sin against God is not the main problem and Christ is not the solution, you come with all of these ideologies about the culture, about people, and about solutions. And as we walk that through together today, I pray that you will listen carefully to Black Lives Matter, what they say from their website, and you listen carefully to the white nationalists and what they say from their website, and begin to see they're like the husband and wife that are looking out of the window, having an agenda, but coming at it from different ways. But before we begin to dive into that, let's go back to be reminded of what we understand from looking at Scripture and overall what racism is. We've discovered that racism can be defined as the belief that one people group is more valuable than another, and the practice of distinguishing one people group as more important than another. We also discovered that fundamentally, racism has to do not merely with real or perceived differences between people groups, but with the value and significance of these differences. And that's important because when you put a value on your ethnicity and significance to the point of raising it as more valuable than other ethnicities, therein lies the issue at hand. It has to do with the presumption of superiority over other people groups and the conduct of personal and social life that manifests this presumption in personal, in communal and social cultural ways. Racism has to do with beliefs and actions and structures that centralize some by marginalizing others on the basis of supposed differences. And I want you to remember these particular definitions, because when we look at Black Lives Matter, when we look at white nationalists and what they believe about the people and the culture, we're going to see that they fall significantly in these realities. Now, we also understood that the word racism is not in the Bible, like the word Bible is not in the Bible, like the word Trinity is not in the Bible. However, we understand that racism, the concept, if we want to go strictly to the word of God and not use that word, it can be understood as the practice of unbiblical partiality, ungodly bias towards people groups that results in elevating one people group and demeaning another people group, i.e. a respect of persons not sanctioned by God. When we think about all of this from a practical perspective, racism is the natural consequence of the fall of man, which is demonstrating pride. Therefore, when there is pride in your heart, when there's pride in my heart, it will lead mankind to create his own estimation about himself and others, something that was commanded by God for us not to do. We look at Romans chapter 12, verse 16. He says this in the passage, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation." See, God did not create a hierarchy of race that demeaned one race or deemed one race less than and another race greater than based on the color of skin. This is a construct based upon the noetic effects of sin. And what do we mean by that? When there is sin in the mind of man, man begins to walk in pride, man begins to have an estimation of himself. And as he has an estimation of himself, he tends to view himself better than and others less than. And then if you're not careful, it becomes a structure that can be developed based upon the mindset and manner, which again comes back to the issue of pride. Racism. Understand that as we get practical, we were all created by God and in his image. Therefore, there is nothing intrinsically different about any ethnic group in relation to ability, in relation to capacity, in relation to potential. We have come to understand that there's only one race, and that is the human race. Therefore, there's nothing for us to do but to understand that this human race, we're made up of multi-ethnicities. In one sense, we are the same, all created in the image of God. In another sense, we are different. We are multi-ethnic. And in another sense, we are unique. There will never be another you or me. If we are going to overcome the sin of racism, it will not be done in the streets. It will not be done through political means. It will not be done through social cultural ideologies. If we're going to overcome racism, we've got to deal with what it's called. It's called sin, and we must not cover it. We must not deny it. We must confess it, and we must forsake it. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but he who confesses and he who forsakes will find compassion." When God and his word are not the source of our satisfaction and the solution to our problems, there will be alternative voices and methodologies used to either try to resolve as well as divert from the issue of racism. This results in listening to ideologies that we were warned from Scripture not to adhere to, as well as believing that we are right when we are wrong, leading to our destruction. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us that we are to see to it that no one takes you captive through vain philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." This is where we see the introduction and the influence of Black Lives Matter Foundation, Inc., and white nationalists. So what I want us to do is I want you to listen to from their perspective, because what I did is, understanding a biblical worldview, I went on two websites. I went on Black Lives Matter website, and I went on Stormfront, which is the group that talks about white nationalism and white nationalists, if you will, their view of life, what they believe about black and white and brown and Asian and all of where they come from. So all of what I'm reading to you, you can go back and look on their website. And all I've done is added purpose and objectives so that we can get a clarification. But as we walk through what they are saying about themselves, I want us to, again, put on a biblical grid, and then I also want you to see how these two groups, even though they think they are different, are truly the same. Black Lives Matter and white nationalists are really coming from the same perspective, and they don't even realize it. But if you have a biblical mindset, you can begin to see the reality that one is no different than the other based upon their worldview and the agenda they both are trying to accomplish, but coming at it from different ways. So let me start first with Black Lives Matter. Here's what their purpose is. They say Black Lives Matter was founded in 2013 in response to the acquittal of Trayvon Martin's murderer. Black Lives Matter Foundation, Inc. is a global organization in the US, UK, and Canada. Look at the mission, whose mission is to eradicate white supremacy. Huh. Well, in order to eradicate white supremacy, anyone who is white, do they believe that has supremacy? Are we talking about eradicating them or their principles? Where are we going? And build local power to intervene in violence inflicted on Black communities by the state and vigilantes by combating and countering acts of violence, creating space, not for everybody, creating space for Black imagination and innovation. And here's the centering Black joy. We are winning immediate improvements in our lives. That's the purpose. Black Lives Matter. Look at their objectives. We are expansive. We are a collective of liberators. Liberators. I thought Jesus was our liberator. I thought the problem ultimately was sin, not so much oppression, and that this is just a symptom of an ultimate. But I digress. Let's keep going. We are a collective of liberators who believe in an inclusive and spacious movement. We also believe that in order to win and bring as many people with us, now notice the word to win, in order to win, someone has to lose. Does that sound like a biblical view for Christians? In order to win and bring as many people with us along the way, we must move beyond the narrow nationalism that is all too prevalent in Black communities. We must ensure we are building a movement that brings all of us to the front, all of whom to the front. We affirm the lives of Black queer and trans folk, disabled folk, undocumented folks, folks with records, women, and all Black lives along the gender spectrum. Now let all that sink in, the focus and center. Our network centers on those who have been marginalized within Black liberation movements. We are working for a world where Black lives are no longer systemically targeted for demise. We affirm not God's glory, not God's agenda, not God's will. We affirm our humanity, our contributions to this society, and our resilience in the face of deadly oppression. The call for Black Lives to Matter is a rallying cry for all Black lives striving for liberation. Now, just in looking at that, and I need you to understand that as a Christian, as we hear this, they are showing us some very practical things about their worldview. Now, first of all, we don't see that sin is the problem. We don't see that Christ is the answer. We don't see that whatever issues we see in the culture are the symptoms, not the source. We don't see that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. We see that the problem are particular people. And since the problem is a particular person, and again, the problem and issue is not sin per se, it is oppression against a certain set of people, we are looking at a set of ideologies that come from the core of evolution, where God is not the center, where sin against him is not the problem, and salvation is not the answer. You're open to any and everything when your belief system evolves or comes from evolution. And so as we look at their worldview, again, evolutionary perspective, what do they believe is the problem? They believe the problem is oppression. And so what is the answer according to Black Lives Matter? Activism and revolution. Well, what do we mean by revolution? Somebody has to die. Somebody has to be put in their place so that we can then have a space. Now, if we understand that, does that sound like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Does that sound like the agenda that we as Christians are to embrace? Now, if we were to take all of what we've just read from them and we were to break it down according to their worldview that they have revealed through the insights that they've just shared, then if we were a part of that group, who are we? This is what we would say we are, because based upon what they've said, they've told us who they are. We are evolved creatures who are part of a society that is divided into the oppressed and the oppressor according to gender, according to race, according to class, according to sexuality, according to physical ability. And we are members of various social groups who exist competing for dominance. That's who they are. And they're telling us that when you look at the agenda they've set. And what do they believe the problem is? The problem is not necessarily sin, but oppression. Certain groups have used their power to dominate and exploit other groups. And what is their purpose? Our purpose, again, if we're part of the organization, is to strive for liberation, to strive for social justice, to strive for equity. And what is our solution? It is activism. It is revolution. It is to throw off the chains of the oppressor, to allow yourself to be divested of your own power and privilege if you're the oppressor, so that we can finally have equity in the culture. Now, I want you to notice that all of this is dealing with people, power, positions, and platforms, not sin condition. Sin position and a need for a savior to change us so that it changes society. So if we were to understand this with Black Lives Matter, we come to understand these presuppositions about Black Lives Matter Foundation. There is an assumption that there is and that there has always been an adversarial agenda between groups. There is an affirmation of the sexual revolution and the gender revolution. Personal experience tends to trump empirical evidence or biblical evidence, because when you look at what they're saying, it's all about experience, 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 experience. And therefore, as a result of our experience, this is our conclusions, and here is the solution. When man does not believe that God has order, when man does not believe that God has a structure, then he's left to his own ideologies about life. So this is the idea of Black Lives Matter. I want to flip the script, because the white nationalists have way more to say than the Black Lives Matter. And what's fascinating about them, all I had to do was put categories. I didn't have to bring any presuppositions to say, based upon this, this is their conclusion. When you look at the Stormfront website for white nationalists, they tell you exactly what they believe about everything. So I want you to notice, here's the purpose of the white nationalist. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. Our children deserve to be able to live in a first world European civilization among their own kind, as our ancestors did, and we owe that to them. This is the basic principle of white nationalism. Now, when you look at, and again, this is all on their website, when you look at white nationalists and their purpose, and you look at Black Lives Matter, isn't it interesting how they're both striving for the same thing and how they both have the center of their ethnicity as the center of the world and everybody else as the issue? Now, look at objectives here, because again, this is what white nationalists are pursuing that they want to accomplish. We want an area or areas on earth and or perhaps states in the US that are reserved for whites and whites only, where we can live in peace apart from the horrors of the third world and other races who would do us harm. So Black Lives Matter believes that it's the white oppressor that's going to do us harm. The white nationalists believe it's all the Black people and all the brown people and all the Asian people that are going to do white people harm, and we need to do something about it. Notice they both have the same agenda. Now, as we keep going, watch this. And again, in these homelands, only white people may reside in a white homeland. Isn't this interesting? Attempts to introduce non-whites into the white homelands as family members, sex partners, employees, or for any other reason shall be cause for loss of civil rights within the homeland and banishment. White nationalists intend to coexist peacefully with and separately from other races. White homelands shall offer comfort, and that word means support, to other white homelands and to white diasporas. White nationalists shall not encroach upon the homelands of other races. A white homeland may unilaterally refuse the entry of any white or groups of whites without cause being required to be shown. Isn't it fascinating that Black Lives Matter and white nationalists both have the same agenda? It's all about their people being put in a position where all those other people don't bother them. Black folk are saying, I don't want white dominance. White people are saying, I don't want these Black people and these brown people hurt us and our agenda. They both are looking at the same thing, but yet they think they are different, because it's all cloaked in sin and racism at the end of the day on both sides of the coin. Now, when we look at this worldview of white nationalists, not only do we recognize that sin is not the problem, Christ is not the answer, and that whatever's happening in the culture is the symptom and not the source, they again have an evolutionary view, but in the evolution, they've led to the ideology of Darwinism. And what they believe, since they have brought into Darwinism the survival of the fittest, they believe that white people are being deluded and losing their identity and losing their superiority because of those Black folk, those brown folk, and those Asian folk, and those Middle East people. So then what is the solution for white nationalists? Separation from other ethnicities. Are you guys seeing a central theme between Black Lives Matter and white nationalists? Now, what's fascinating, again, as I had to take from Black Lives Matter and begin to unfold from their insight, because they didn't give a lot of information to say, here are the conclusions we can draw. With white nationalists, they put it all out on the table. And so all I had to do was put categories to it. But here are their words. If you were to ask a white nationalist, who are we? They will tell you, we are white people according to native European ancestry that are inherently superior to people from all other racial and ethnic groups. And we deserve preferential treatment and special legal protection. Now, I don't know about you, but doesn't that sound like Black Lives Matter? Because we are Black people who deserve preferential treatment and special legal protection. So what's fascinating is you've got these two groups who think they're so extreme, but they're actually operating from the exact same agenda. Now, look at what they believe, white nationalists, what they believe the problem is. Other people groups are ruining our way of life due to their inferiority and poor leadership abilities. They lack the skill or ability to maintain the social, cultural, economic systems established by white people. Other people groups are diluting our race and causing us to lose our distinct and reproductive isolated race as white people. Now, what I find fascinating about this is the only way that they can be diluted is if those white people that they're talking about are hanging out with those other people that they believe are ruining their way. But again, in all of this, look at how two groups have made themselves the center and the problem is the other group and the solution is somehow getting rid of them in any way possible. So look at what they believe their purpose is. What is our purpose? The solution is to create enforced racial segregation, to create white homelands controlled by white nationalists and dedicated to the habituation of white people. Now, with all that's being said, we can begin to see, and again, these are their words, we can begin to see the presupposition of white nationalists. And here's what they say. All other people groups are inferior to white people. There is no real evidence that the races are mentally equal or any reason why we would even expect them to be in the first place. They also say that human intelligence is the result of genetics. Did we not just talk about the logic of that the last time we got together and how you try to believe that genetics and that doesn't fit with how God created, but this is their belief system. Again, Black people are born with civilizational disadvantages. The social, cultural, economic systems that are superior derived and are maintained by white people. Now, here again, these are their presuppositions. You go to their website. If Blacks or Mexicans or Browns from the Middle East become a majority, then they will not be able to maintain the white man's social, cultural, and economic system because they do not have the minds needed to do so. Now, we take all of this, and I want you to see, just in big picture, the connection between Black Lives Matter and white nationalists. Walk with me through this. Both elevate and place value on their people group above other people groups. Black Lives Matter strives for the cause of Black people primarily. White nationalists strive for the cause of white people. But secondly, both hold to views about themselves and other people groups that are not held by God. Black Lives Matter regard their people as the victims of the dominant culture with no common ground. White nationalists regard their people as supreme to minority culture with no common ground. But here's thirdly what's fascinating. Both believe the main problem is the other people groups. Black lives believe the problem is oppression from the dominant culture. White nationalists believe it's a dilution and perversion from the minority culture. But here's what's also fascinating. Both believe deliverance from other people groups is the answer. Black Lives Matter calls for liberation from white supremacy. White nationalists call for separation from minority people groups. And what's fascinating is both want to place their people group in a place where they can flourish according to their view of life. Black Lives Matter want to create a space for Black imagination and innovation and centering Black joy. White nationalists want to secure the existence of their people and a future for white children to be able to live in a first world European civilization among their own kind. Isn't it fascinating how they think they're so different, but because they lack a biblical reality, ultimately they both fit in a biblical view of racism. Both of them. And what's sad is too many people think that it's just one or the other, Black Lives Matter and white nationalists. That's why I tell people, don't you dare sit and talk about Black Lives Matter and don't talk about white nationalists. Don't you dare talk about white nationalists and talk about Black Lives Matter. If you're going to do it right, if you're going to do it well, you need to look at both of them because they both are pursuing the same agenda. If we go back to our definition of racism and think about these two organizations and what they're spouting to the cultures, think about this definition again. Racism can be defined as the belief that one people group is more valuable than another and the practice of distinguishing one people group as more important than another. Do we not see that with the Black Lives Matter organization? Do we not see that with white nationalists? Look at this definition. Fundamentally, racism has to do not merely with the real or perceived differences between people groups, but with the value and significance of these differences. Do we not see that with white nationalists? Do we not see that with Black Lives Matter? It has to do with the presumption of superiority over other people groups and the conduct of personal and social life that manifests this presumption in personal, communal, and social cultural ways. Do we not see that with Black Lives Matter? Do we not see that with white nationalists? Racism has to do with the beliefs, actions, and structures that centralize some by marginalizing others on the basis of supposed differences. Do we not see that with white nationalists? Do we not see that with Black Lives Matter? Whereas the word racism is not in the Bible, the concept can be understood as a practice of unbiblical partiality, ungodly bias toward people groups that result in elevating one people group and demeaning another people group, i.e. respect of persons not sanctioned by God. Do we not see that with white nationalists? Do we not see that with Black Lives Matter? They are the same. They should get together and build a rallying cry because they're seeking to accomplish the same agenda, but coming at it from different ways. Why? Because sin is not the problem. Christ is not the answer. People are the ultimate problem. And when you attack people and not the problem, or when you misdiagnose the problem, you have confusion, disorder, and every evil thing. Why? Because you're operating from earthly, natural, demonic wisdom. Why? Because you think you're right when you're sincerely wrong. Why? Because you don't recognize that you're operating by the doctrines of demons. And you're not promoting a biblical reality or a biblical worldview. Well, as we have looked at Black Lives Matter and white nationalists, what's the rebuttal against Black Lives Matter Foundation and white nationalist ideology? How do we as Christians, who God has delivered from multi-ethnicities, who God has taken from Black, Brown, Asian, you name it, and reconciled into one new man, who God has created one new creation with us, who is building his spiritual house as he's taken from all nations and cultures. How do we, as people who belong to Jesus Christ, that just happen to be different ethnicities, how do we refute these white nationalists and these Black Lives Matter who believe that white people are the problem and who believe that Black people are the problem, and how we just need to either oppress or dominate one or separate from the other, which is not God's agenda? How do we deal with this from a biblical perspective? Let us explore some practical things that we have been saying, but let's put it together in one big picture. When God's will, ways, and word are not at the center to resolve problems, ungodly ideologies and ungodly practices become the way of executing or determining justice. True justice, according to scripture, will seek to change conditions, hear me out, that keep all people from functioning and flourishing according to God's order and their God-given design, and not seek to undermine or try to change God's order or God's design. True justice will always seek to create conditions that would allow all people to function and flourish according to God's order and God's given design. What does this require from us, saints? This requires us to be promoting, to be encouraging, to be fighting for, to be admonishing, to be embracing, and to be functioning through God's order as it relates to being a man, as it relates to being a woman, as it relates to being a husband, as it relates to being a wife, as it relates to being a child, as it relates to how we're supposed to work, as we understand the biblical view of freedom, as we understand relationships. We are to be walking and operating through the great commandments, which is to love God and love others. We are to be functioning in the great commission to go to all nations, making disciples. And that is how we can promote the kind of justice that is different from the culture, the justice that is described and prescribed by God. Now, if we build on that together, we start to understand that we have a way different biblical view or a worldview that's different than white nationalists and Black Lives Matter. See, if you are operating according to your Christian values, you believe that there is a God and that this God created a creation and we were created in his image. You believe that mankind fell from God's order, which is what we call sin. And you believe that the solution is redemption through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we put our faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ and become delivered from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and soon the presence of sin into a new and right standing and relationship that changes our position and condition with God, that allows us to be sealed and secure in his presence forever, that leads us to know him, become like him, and be useful to him. You, saint, that is your worldview, which leads you to practice something way different than Black Lives Matter or white nationalists. See, if you were to confront a Christian who's operating the way they're supposed to operate, and you ask, okay, well, who are you? Who are we? We are human beings created multi-ethnically equal in the image of God by God. What is our problem? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And what is our solution? Putting faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ to save us from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and soon the presence of sin unto a new and right standing and relationship with God. What is our purpose? We have been saved from sin and reconciled to God in order to live a life of knowing him, becoming like him, and being useful to him as we wait on his return. Now, what's fascinating is that Black Lives Matter highlights and centers around being Black. White nationalists center and highlight the value and significance of being white. Now, as we look at what they're doing, the question is, okay, as we come to the table coming from different ethnicities and being Christians, how should we deal with our ethnicity as Christians? As we saw in the past, as we looked at Romans 9, verse 1 through 8, here's what we came to glean from these realities. Romans 9, 1 through 8 helps us understand that there is a value and there is an importance in being part of the ethnic group for which we were born through God's providence, and we should not ignore it. We should appreciate it. We should embrace the lessons that God has taught us through being a part of the ethnicity for which we were born. We must understand and identify with our ethnicity, watch this, without putting it above developing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Therefore, we should not worship our ethnicity, but appreciate it, value it, while embracing the God of our ethnicity and our spiritual identity in Jesus Christ. We must embrace the fact that our connection to Jesus Christ is more important than the connection to our ethnic group. Through our relationship with Jesus Christ, we must learn when to challenge, when to support, when to defend, and when to rebuke our ethnic group according to the word and ways of God, just like Paul did with his ethnic group. Watch this. In addition, we must challenge Darwin evolution and its fruit of racism with scientific facts and biblical revelation that demonstrate that we are no less or greater than each other and that God is no respect of persons. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how we should be dealing with our ethnicity, not Black Lives Matter, not white nationalists, not the political stuff that we see out there, but the biblical stuff that we bring to all of that. And the moment we do that, we can get back the moral authority that we as saints have that God gave us. But if we keep muddling around in the culture and taking on the ideologies, we can't stand and be the people that God called us to be because we're too busy being the people that the culture wants us to be. And that is unacceptable to the King who delivered us out of the culture to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So if we understand this, how should Christians deal with issues in our society? We don't put our head in the sand. What should we do? Consider this. Our goal is not to pursue the change of society, but to seek to influence society for change. You see the difference? See, trying to change society is aiming too low and it's arrogant, as if you can change society. Our goal is not to pursue change of society, but to seek to influence change for change as we guide individuals in the society into salvation in Jesus Christ, sanctification in Jesus Christ, and service for Jesus Christ. Now understand, we're not talking about a social gospel. Because see, a social gospel is about making change in the culture. We're about changing people in Christ as we impact the culture. We're not seeking to bring in the kingdom of God by our service. We are serving the King of our kingdom by our service. Therefore, justice for us is making things right, primarily through the work of evangelism and the work of discipleship, influencing the culture where we can, i.e. the government, science, education, arts, sociology, to watch this, to function according to the standards of righteousness as defined and prescribed by our King Jesus. In other words, we are to be challenging conditions that keep all people from functioning and flourishing according to God's order and their God-given design, and seeking to create conditions that would allow all people to function and flourish according to God's order and their God-given design, as empowered by God to do so. Again, just reiterating, we're pushing for God's order and how men need to function, how a woman needs to function, how a husband needs to function, how a wife needs to function, how children need to function, how we need to operate and work, what true freedom is, and how we are to work and govern ourselves in relationships. We are pursuing and developing the Great Commission and the Great Commandments in the pursuit of justice. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot of work to do, but it's the same work that we've been having to do. And we cannot allow the cultural divide and all the gobbledygook that we hear out there between Black Lives Matter, white nationalists, and again, don't you dare choose one or the other. See, it's not, and I never forget when I was called into do something in South Africa. A man said, hey, you know, we want to talk about Black Lives Matter and we want you to, I said, I will, but we got to talk about white nationalists too. He was like, oh, okay. And then I remember I did that in the prison system a couple of weeks ago. The guy said, hey, you know, Black Lives Matter, we having a lot of, I said, yeah, we got to talk about white nationalists and Black Lives Matter. And the guy said, I have to be honest with you, it's not until I heard the presentation that I didn't see the condition and the connection. I said, exactly. Because it's not just a bunch of Black folks stirring up problems because of their ideology. It's white people stirring up problems because of their ideology, and both of them are operating in racism and not according to God's design. And when you have two sets of people who believe that they are right and everybody else is wrong, there's always going to be division. And we as saints can't stand for that. We got to come at it from a whole nother angle. Our fight will not be one demeaning other people and getting in the streets. Our fight, if you understand the scripture, our weapons are not of the world. We can't fight like the world. So demeaning and criticizing and believing my way is right and their way is wrong. See, that's the issue of the world. That's earthly, natural, demonic. Reading into other people's agendas versus seeing what God says, that's earthly, natural, demonic. For the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses and is able to do what? Matter of fact, let's just look at that. God Almighty, thank you, Holy Spirit, for that word. Walk with me in 2 Corinthians. Lord Jesus, where is that passage? For our, what is it? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Thank you. Verse 3. Hallelujah for the Lamb of God. Look at 2 Corinthians 10, 3. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Understand that social institutions, understand that all the stuff we send the culture, it can only go so far because it is the tools of the culture, not the tools of God. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For our weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. If you keep trying to fight a war that's a godly war in the flesh, you are not fighting right, and you are representing the devil and not Jesus Christ. For our weapons of a warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Watch this, for we're destroying speculation and every lofty thing, white nationalists, Black Lives Matter, raised against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Politics is not going to do it. Activism is not going to do it. Please understand, it is only going to happen through the power of Jesus Christ. And we as saints got to come up out of all of this stuff and begin to speak to it, not represent it, whatever side it may be. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, may you help us to clean up our thinking. May you help us to fight with the weapons you've given us. And may we recognize that you are using us. And it's not us to try to make it and take it on ourselves. It's us to be instruments in your hands. Please, Lord, help us to not get caught up in the ideologies of Black Lives Matter, white nationalists. Please, Lord, let us not begin to buy into any of those ideologies or worldviews, but to see that it's all about you. May we embrace the ethnicity that you put us in, but never allow that embrace to cause us to worship it or demean others. but to be encouraged to be in this skin that we're in to your glory and the good of others. In Christ's name, amen.
We hope that you've been encouraged by hearing God's word. If you would like to contact us, you may do so by dialing 713-510-4021, or you can go online to www.cofhouston.com. This is Dr. Nicholas Allen saying God bless you and have a great day.